We are blessed to have this word of his. We are so, so very blessed. Okay, I'm going to switch over here and bring this big monster thing over this way. And again, I apologize. Ladies, happy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for being who you are, for being willing to bring new life into this world, to raise children, no matter if it's just one or half a dozen or more. It takes a very special person to be a mother. It takes a lot of patience that I don't think men have sometimes. You know, we don't have that extra nurturing gene in us. Or at least maybe I'm speaking for myself. But when you think of mothers, you know, your heart just goes out to them because they give their all every moment of every day to raise those children. I think of my own mom, you know, who became a mom very young and had two more children afterwards. Unfortunately, the marriage didn't work, but it didn't stop her from being a mom. She's a mom now. She's going to be 82 here in a couple months. And we're going to see her afterwards today to spend a little bit of time, bring her some flowers, appreciate her. But she's my mom. I see her several times a week. She's in Franklin Grove Nursing Home right now, assisted living. And that's you know, what happens when we grow old. So, you know, at this point in time, you know, having become a Christian now, I've been for about 20 years, I see my mom in a new light. And I pray that as children who have parents and mothers and fathers, that you really do take a step back and look at all that they've given for you out of love. Out of love that comes from a loving heart, a patient person, and by God's grace, you know, with his hand upon it. So over the years, we have talked about a number of ladies on Mother's Day. You know, we've gone through Proverbs 31 lady. We've talked about our Christ and Lord Savior's mother, Mary. We just finished the book of Ruth. And how can you not notice Naomi and how she cared for her, the kids, even the ones that married into her family. So not that the Bible is short on ladies that I want to lift up and study, but today we're going to just look briefly at a lady named Jochebed. Say what? Yeah, God bless me. What? Jochebed. Do we know who that is? Moses' mother. Moses' mother. We're going to look at Moses' mother. All right, so I want to go ahead and read Exodus 2, 1 through 9, okay? This will be the main verses that we'll be going through, but we'll be kind of bouncing back and forth to others. And shot right past that. Exodus 2, 1 through 9. And this will be titled The Birth of Moses. I'm reading out of ESV here. You can follow along. Just these first nine verses. The birth of Moses. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. Pay attention to that message, that sentence, because we're going to come and visit that a lot. And it's in different versions and says different things, sort of uses different words. It's interesting. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. And now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 10. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, briefly, it's coming upon the time of 400 years that the Hebrews have been slaves to the Egyptians. And so they were so concerned at that fullness of the Hebrew nation and the continuance of population growth that they, Pharaoh decreed a law that he wanted all male sons killed. Boom. Straight up. No more. What kind of people are we? I mean, that just kind of popped into my head. Look what we are as people, And did it change throughout the time? No. Look at the wars that we've had. I mean, even in the past century, you know. Wow. Anyway, off topic. So she was a Hebrew woman living in the time of when she and her people were in what Exodus 1:14 called hard bondage to the Egyptians. Yet still the Hebrew people grew and multiplied. This worried the king of Egypt, so he spoke to the Hebrew midwives and told them to kill the Hebrew baby boys born. However, the midwives feared God, thank you, Lord, and they would not do it. Therefore, Pharaoh commanded all Hebrew baby boys to be cast into the river. So this is the scenario of what we're talking about today. Jochebed is her name, okay? First of all, I found it really interesting that it's the first syllable in her name is the same syllable that begins the Hebrew word of God. It's Jehovah or Yahweh as we know him. And Yahweh in Hebrew means the existing one. And so she has that same syllable in the beginning of her name, Jochebed. Interesting, right? So, just to take that into note, God's providence. You know, did it happen by accident? I don't think so. I mean, she's going to be given to the guy that we know as Moses. So my ESV version, and I'm really thinking about changing from where I preach because I bring this up every single week with something different, says that a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. There's a huge story here about this woman, Jochebed. Jochebed. King James Version says, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Okay? NKJV. As wife, a daughter of Levi. NASB. Went and married a daughter of Levi. Now, I know that when we say we're a daughter of Levi, that can sometimes mean generations upon generations. But pretty much most of what I found, because Levi lived a really long time, and so did his son Kohath. I mean, just the two of them were more than half of the time that Egypt enslaved the Hebrews. So another version goes on to say, I'm gonna read here a little bit out of Numbers that gives us a little bit of context, okay? This is the genealogy of Levi. So this is Numbers 6:16. The heads of Israel is what the heading is. These are the names of the sons of Levi, okay? Jacob's son, Levi, one of the 12 tribes. According to their generations, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, the years of the life of Levi being 137 years. That's a really long time. You know, that's more than a quarter of how long they were enslaved. Now, we remember that Jacob made it all the way down to Egypt while Joseph was the man in charge, the father of the 12 tribes, and the 11 brothers came as well. Okay, so that's the very beginning of all this. Number 6:18, the sons of Kohath, son of Levi, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uzziel, the years of the life of Kohath being 133 years. So, Levi lived 137. His son Kohath lived 133. And now his son Amram is alive. Number 620. Amram took as his wife Jochebed as his father's sister. Says it in number 620. Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, the years of the life of Amram being 137. So theoretically, number-wise, what are we up to? 390-ish years plus. So there it fits if people are living 137 years that Amram literally married his aunt, who was his father's sister. Now they're saying that she was a daughter of Levi. And I also read in one of the versions that when she gave birth to Moses, God restored her youth, which was very interesting. It was a commentary. Okay, so I'm not God. It's hard for me, a guy 2,000 plus years later, to see the longevity of life of some of these people, but my God can do anything. Okay? God's providence set this up. The first time Jochebed is mentioned by name, Jochebed, this is Strong's H3135. It literally, her name means Jehovah is glory. That's pretty cool. I felt very blessed by finding out Jeff means God is love. That is really cool here. Jehovah is glory. She was the first person in the Bible to have the name with the divine element of Yah, which is shortened from Yahweh, obviously the personal name of God, which means the self-existing one. She must have been a woman whose nature and character was established on the glory of God. Kind of a very special lady. So now, moving on again, to give us a context of this woman, who she is. This is under the Numbers 2659, and this is the census of a new generation. All right? So here's Amram, Kohath's son, the grandson of Levi. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and she bore to Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, and their sister. Now, I understand in parts of our Bible, we have seen the daughter of Levi, or the generally means, you know, a daughter from that lineage. But like I said, I found a few things that actually literally said that it was his daughter. Take it as what is will. It's God's providence that she was the mother of these three amazing people, and she was alive and had Moses after she had already had Aaron and Miriam. Okay, so he was the last one born. Obviously, God's providence was at play here, as always. Things are going to turn out just the way he wants. And so don't think he doesn't have a plan for your life. This is what I see it. I was reading this, and I don't think that he doesn't know you're here, because he knows. He knows you, he loves you, and he has a plan for you. And he knows everything you think, everything you do, and everything that is put in your way. He's aware of it. You know, even the small things in life and even the big things in life. He is very aware because he loves you, and his providence causes things to happen in your life to draw you closer to him and to understand who he is in your life. He is sovereign creator God. And because you have said yes to Christ, he hears you. I got goosebumps. He literally cares about you. He literally does things in your life. Sometimes they're hard, and sometimes they hurt, and sometimes they really take some understanding, but it's to grow you to trust him in all things. And that is encouraging. So same thing is going on here. We know who Moses is. We know about his life, but his birth, the lady that took care of him, that gave birth to him, is a very special woman. And kind of old. Although her youth was restored, but Second verse here, the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. So King James Version says the word good, and it's the same word God used for his creation. When he had created it, and let there be light, and he said, this is good. And on the sixth day, and he looked at everything, and he said, this is good. Same word is used here for Moses' mom, Jochebed, talking about her son, Moses. This is good. That word is in the Strong's Dictionary, H2896. It literally means good, pleasant, agreeable, prosperity, and benefit. So that might add a little bit of richness to those verses. Verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes. I'm going to stop there because the ESV says basket. You know what King James and New King James says in verse 3? Are you there, MJ? No? Ark. Ark. Who else had an ark? Noah. I mean, that is really cool. And how long ago? When he destroyed the world because he just couldn't stand the people anymore. They had gone so far past and beyond what he had even hoped, the wrong way, that he was wiping out the whole world except for 8 people, and he had Noah make an ark. And now Moses says, this is the same word used here. Ark. The goodness of his mother saw the need to try and save this son. She could see that he was more than just a really good-looking child or healthy. He was good. Like, there was light. Let there be good. He was that good. God looked at his creation and he said, this is good. Moses was that good. And somehow, Jochebed, who had the first syllable name of Yahweh, saw this by providence. He put it in her and goes, this child is something special. This child is going to do amazing things. And she has not only that perception because of God, but she has the maternal love that only mothers could have. I mean, he chose you guys, female, to be the vessels to bring new life into this world. Wow. Not by accident, okay? So, happy Mother's Day. But he chose you guys to create life in your bodies. He made you in such a way that you could build a whole nother new person inside of you. And as a mother, I know all your babies are special and beautiful and wonderful and great creations, but something here, after 400 years of slavery, this child, by God's providence, was going to make it. So, only these two versions that I could find. I didn't look up all gazillion versions of our Bible, but King James and New King James use the word ark here. I can go with that. I can go with that. What we want to see here is that maternal instinct, that maternal love that you ladies have for your children. I mean, I know Miss Dana would die, like all of you ladies would, for your own kids. Okay? That's amazing. That maternal instinct, and she's doing the same thing right here, that maternal love. She's like, this child needs to be saved. She made an ark of bulrush, and I guess I read somewhere as they were, she was creating that bitumen is a little bit to keep out the smell of the tar and the pitch that's on the outside. So it's double coated, you know, tar and the pitch on the outside, which is really strong. We know that the bitumen. So when she places the baby in there, doesn't have to get those fumes. I don't know, pass out or whatever. I mean, she was smart, smart. God's providence. She's loved him so much that she wanted this child to live. If it wasn't with her, then with somebody else. But she knew God would care for her. She had a heart of wisdom, this Jochebed. She decided to save this child's life, to go against the very law that was standing out there, where other ladies were following through with the law and following the requirement according to Pharaoh. This lady had that instinct by God, this maternal love, this heart that loved this child so much and realized that she had to save it, to build this ark, which, by the way, I'm going to give you the words again. You know how much I love words. The Hebrew Strong's H8392, the ark literally means a vessel which Noah built, a basket vessel in which Moses was placed. That's your for ark. I mean, from Strong's dictionary. Ain't nothing else. Noah's ark, Moses' ark. Done. Which is kind of cool. Jochebed was a courageous mother. How dare you stand against an established nation, an army, and a king or pharaoh like that? How dare you? That maternal instinct that you guys have, you're welcome, from God, a gift from God. That literally means, you know, to seek the Lord and then courageously do the next thing he puts in your heart to do. He gives her that wisdom. Rather than focusing on the things that might not work, she focuses on God's sovereignty and refused to worry about the what ifs and what could happen when she set that baby in his ark and let it go. She refused to worry because she trusted God. Now, do we trust God that much? God, I hope so. And if we don't, does he put things in our path that cause us to examine, fail, and trust him when he makes things work out? I mean, do we trust him in all things? Do we trust him with our lives, with our kids, with our homes, with our jobs, with our health, with our money? I mean, as Christians, we know where we're going. The end is going to be beautiful because we've been forgiven. Because we know the sovereign God knows my name. Because we know he has his hand upon us. Does he punish us? Does he correct us? I'm going to say yes. So does it hurt sometimes? Yeah, well, you better know we deserve it. But if we can look back like this woman and look over the bad and see the good out of it and grow in our faith and trusting him more and more in everything, that's a win. That's a win in our column. And that's how much he loves us. So is she going to worry about what's going to happen when she puts him in the baby? Maybe a little, but is she going to trust God more to carry this through, to keep him safe? You betcha. Philippians 2:13, Paul tells us, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We need to remember that. Amen. Amen. Verse 4 says, "And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him." So obviously Miriam was born. Obviously Miriam was old enough to understand what was happening. Obviously she was going to keep an eye on Moses to see and maybe have any kind of influence to save his life. Verse 5, "And now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river. While her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it." The servant woman went over and grabbed the basket. What I couldn't get over is that she bathes in the river. Where did Pharaoh tell everybody to dispose of all male children? Yeah. Ew. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It just the first thing that jumped in my mind when I read that. But, you know, hey, she's a clean person. She's bathing. And she saw this basket. And she's like, go over and get that. And, you know, you can't tell me that God's providence didn't work in her life. Whether she recognized it or not, we know he did. You know, that baby could have just stood there or stayed in that little alcove of bushes crying for days and passed away from lack of water and food. But no, God had set it up that Pharaoh's daughter, the monster of this major of this entire land who wants all the babies murdered, his daughter sees this child, this basket, and providentially he said, yes, go get it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Well, someone who's going against Pharaoh's laws, even your father's laws. And she recognized it right. You know, if you want to go back to the old Charlton Heston movie, he had a special blanket. It was red and kind of gray and white and black, right? It's what I remember. But do you think it was by accident that Miriam was sitting right there and had the audience of Pharaoh's daughter at this very moment to say, should I go get somebody to feed him? Just roll the dice and, oh yeah, there she was. She was out for a walk and, you know, walking her dog and happened to be in that moment. I don't think so. Once again, God's hand is on everything. I mean, just picture this great big hand over you, over this earth, over everything. And just thank him once again for knowing him. Okay? Because there's people that walk around out here that don't. That don't know him, that don't believe in him, that don't see the love and the care in all of creation. You know, I listen regularly to the other side. And it fires me up. I'm just going to say that. To NPR, and I hear these scientists talking because there's a science show in the morning, and I laugh, and then I get mad, and then I yell at my radio. Not that that helps or anything, but it really, really bothers me that they so casually can group, well, somewhere between, you know, 4 and 5 million years ago. That's a big gap. Right. You can't get any closer? Come on, you're just guessing. Anyway, whole nother story. Yes, God's providence is constantly at work in ours because he knows us in our lives, and believe it. So Miriam was there, and boy, what a smart little girl she was. I don't know, 10, 12 years old. You want me to hook you up with a Hebrew lady that can take care of this child? And there'll be some interesting fact here that blew my mind away. Again, without children, sorry, don't have kids of my own, deeply regretted it, but that's how life is for me, and that's okay. So, God's providence, massively at work. I mean, I literally see his hand. If I'm looking at the picture where Miriam is, and the reeds, and the beautiful ark, and the lady bathing over there, and it's, you just see this beautiful hand over going, you know, controlling everything, because that's God. Amen. So, Miriam and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mom. Who? Say it with me. Jochebed. There you go. God bless you all. Jochebed. Went and called her mom. Miriam fetched her mother, Jochebed, to nurse this baby Moses in safety. Verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So not only is she going to be able to take care of her own kid and give her the own biological mother milk that is needed for this child to make him grow well, then she's got a job that she gets to be rewarded for by raising her own kid in a time when all boy babies are supposed to be murdered. By happenstance?
Got sovereignty right here.
Amen. Amen. But it's the woman who listened. That's really kills me. You know, this Jochebed, she just was full of God's grace and mercy and full of his love and understanding, and must have had this real one-way connection with him that she trusted him so much that she let this baby go, knowing something would happen good to him. So, take the child and nurse him, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. So God's hand was so much on this that he figured out a way to return her natural son back to his mother for a time to nourishment and comfort. So we need to understand what a mighty God we serve. His overarching providence of his world is perfect. That includes us. You know, we may have a bad day, but he knows that. You know, and I swear to you, in my own personal experience, if I'm having one of the worst days of my life, all it takes is a prayer. And after I pray, because I've been granted the grace and mercy and love of a sovereign creator God, and I've been allowed to be brought into his very presence from the work of his son on the cross, the shedding of that perfect blood, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, the sinless one who defeated death, all that I have in my corner, and somehow still I get to have a bad day. But when I come before him and just pray, and I say, in Jesus' name, amen, I feel better. I feel better than I did, always, because I know that the one that lights this world every single day with the sun during the day and that beautiful moon at night, and I look out my window and I see the creation that he's made in nature, in grass, I don't care what it is, his hand is everywhere, but I look at my wife and I think of the marriage that he's blessed me with, I'm blessed. We are blessed. And he is active in our lives. It's our fault if we don't engage. How are we going to grow if we don't engage? Just a thought. All right. So here is his overreaching providence of this world is perfect. Everything is perfect. And in time, we'll see that. I'm really missing my tablet. Sorry. Bear with me. So she kept, here's an interesting fact. She kept the child until he was weaned. Does anyone know how long that is, you ladies? Just throw it out there. A year? Anything else? A year and a half? Anybody want to contradict that and throw it out there for even longer? Four. The World Health Organization, WHO, and UNICEF, this is just a recent fact, recommend that all children in both developed and undeveloped countries be breastfed a minimum of 2 years or beyond, and acknowledge that, here's the kicker, the average age of weaning a child worldwide is about 4 years old. 4 years old. So she had possibly 4 years to raise Moses, to instill in him the belief of God, the providence of God, that God is real. God is, his hand is upon this. God has made you in something special. She had 4 years to give him that maternal love, to protect him, to show him what love is. He had 4 years with his mother who loved him dearly, who knew in the end that she had to give him up. But yet she still trusted God. She still trusted God so much. So she made the most of her time, wouldn't you say? I mean, she was a wise woman, made the most of her time that she had while she was weaning this child. Oh yeah, and getting a wage for it. Not so bad. God takes care of those who love him. So we need to, and you know, all the ladies seem to know this better than most men. Use the wisely, the little time that you have to influence your child to love and follow Jesus Christ. Amen. I read somewhere, and this is a quote, I can't remember who said this, although it seems like Moses wandered from his identity before God called him into ministry at the burning bush, it's obvious through his life that Moses' roots of faith are deep. If Jochebed could have made that kind of impact on Moses in just 4 years, imagine what kind of mark you can make on your own children's heart over your lifetime. She took it seriously, this mission of motherhood. You know, we all see throughout history, the first teachers of godly leaders were not theologians, they were moms. They're going to be listening to their mom before they go off to school and learn from a theologian. Yeah. Generation after generation, the mission of motherhood has been the same. God invites mothers to join him in molding the character of their children. I read like 5 articles written by women on this. This is very interesting. So only God knows the future that awaits your child. What amazing honor he has given to you, ladies. You are the vessel the Lord will use to prepare your child for a lifetime of use by the Lord. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Finally, not only is she an amazing woman, but she made the hall of faith. Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. This is an ESV version. Because they saw that the child was beautiful or good, and they were not afraid of the king's edict because they trusted God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor. And Father, today I lift up mothers, my mother, every mother here. I lift them up and thank you for their heart of love their faithfulness, their generosity and willingness to give up everything for us, their children, the wisdom that you give them, the fact that, you know, in those very early years, you know, we learned so many things from our mom at that point in time. What a gift. You have made these women, like I said, you have chosen women to be the vassal of, to give new life, to bring new life forth. You've made them so that they can create a new person by your grace and mercy. We thank you for that, and I thank you for each and every mother here today. Father, and in this prayer, you know, you have even created the beautiful flowers that we have up here, and these flowers are for our mothers. We have enough of these flowers that after this prayer that I would wish the mothers would come up and take three or so flowers, two or three of these flowers for each of them, just to remember and see the beauty. If their children are grown up and not in their household anymore, but just to take this beautiful flower and look and see the creation that you've made here, the beauty that you have, and the gift that we've been given. The grace and mercy that we don't deserve and we certainly could not earn. We deserve death, and you've kept us from that. Father, today we praise you and thank you for mom, all moms, and it's in your glorious and righteous name that I pray. Amen.
So please stand this morning.